إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge with sound understanding. And we ask Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our actions righteous actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity in everything we say and everything we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good persons in this life and bringing good for others, loving to bring good to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put love in our hearts for the believers and for the righteous. And we have a special welcome as well. We have a guest amongst us tonight. We will say welcome, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your stay amongst us enjoyable, and anything we can do inshallah ta'ala to assist, inshallah, please don't hesitate. We're going to continue tonight reading from the book we've been reading for a couple of months, Sharh Aqidat al-Salaf Ashab al-Hadith, the explanation of the creed of the people of Hadith, the people who follow and adhere to the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the book by the great Imam Abi Uthman, Al-Imam al-Sabuni, rahimahullah, and the explanation of one of the great scholars of our time, Al-Allama al-Shaykh al-Walid al-Doktor, Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah ta'ala, wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lilmuslimina wal muslimat. A new chapter, Al-Ba'thu Ba'd al-Mawt. Al-Ba'th Ba'd al-Mawt. The resurrection after death. It is from the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to believe in the life after death. We die, we're human being, we die. Everything dies, not just a human being. As Allah tells us in the Quran, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything on the surface of this earth will perish, but the face of your Lord, full of majesty, will remain. Allah does not die, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also tells us in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Also, another place in the Quran, Allah tells us and reminding us of this reality that we witness it, not in yourself but in others, by seeing other people die. We've heard people die. Some people, yet they are close family members. Some of us may have lost their loved ones, their parents, if not both one, their grandparents, others, their children, and the like. So we're no stranger to this term, death. But Allah said, every soul shall taste death. Everybody die. The rich people die and the poor people die. healthy and sick. Sometimes you find a person sick and they survive for years. Years. They're still alive. Somebody strong, still young, strong, healthy, and they die. Every soul shall taste death. But on the day of judgment, everybody will stand in front of their actions that they have performed in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He's al-adl. Allah does not oppress people. Allah is just. So the reward on the day of judgment is according to what the people they have done in this life. Those who did good, they will be rewarded with good. And good here, meaning they adhere to the teachings of the messenger. Every nation before this one, they had to adhere to the teachings of the prophet and the messenger that was sent to them. Because Allah, the Almighty, from His hikmah, He's the All-Wise, from His mercy, has sent, and His justice, His adl, has sent messengers and prophets, many, to the people, to show them the path of good from the path of evil, the path of safety from the path of destruction, the path of success from the path of loss. And subhanAllah, even in this life, people don't want to lose, people don't want to be destroyed, and people don't want to be lost. Everybody wants to be successful and to be amongst the winner, and they want to be guided. Nobody wants to lose. What about losing on that day? Because if someone is lost on that day, because as we know, there is only two destinations. There are certain people who will enjoy themselves in the paradise. May Allah make us and you from them, ameen. While others, they will perish in the punishment of the hellfire because of what they have earned. It has nothing to do with their colors or their countries, what place they came from. It has nothing to do with that. Doesn't matter, they were black, white, rich, poor, Arab, non-Arab, Americans, Russians, Chinese, Saudis, Yemenis, Gambian. Doesn't matter. What is taken into consideration, did these people adhere to the teachings of the Prophet and the Messenger that was sent to them or not? Did they worship Allah who created them alone without associating any partners with Him? And this is very important. Did they comply with the commands that Allah legislates for them for their good benefits? Allah doesn't benefit when the people are doing good. For instance, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be kind and dutiful to our parents, okay, which is a command in Islam, it's not an option to be kind or nice or to your parents or not, that's an obligation. That's only for our good. And that you treat your parents with kindness, with dignity. When you speak to them, you choose the best statements. That's what Islam teaches. But of course, when you look at the application of certain Muslims, they don't do these things. But Islam is free from those actions, even that are perpetrated by Muslims. Islam teaches us to be kind and nice and dutiful to our parents. SubhanAllah, even if they are non-Muslims. If you're a Muslim, Allah guide you to Islam. Let's say your parents, both of them or one of them, they're non-Muslim yet. And may Allah guide them to Islam if this is the case. Then you still have to be kind and nice to them. You don't obey them if they call you to shirk and polytheism. But Allah says, but still, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But still you be kind and nice to them. You don't even say oof to your parents. Don't roll your eyes when you talk to them. You humble yourself. Respect. I know, this is Islam. Alhamdulillah, because these are the things that are going to help us. Being truthful as well. Islam teaches truthfulness. You got to be true with your Lord first, who created you and fashioned you in the best form and provide you with endless bounties, priceless ones, from the fresh air you breathe and the fresh water you drink and the variety of food, for sound mind and intellect, health, the vision, the hearing, being able to speak, being able to see, being able to hear, being able to walk, being able to think. And the most precious and most important of all favors is Islam. Being guided to Islam. Why? Because it benefits you in this life and in the hereafter. As health and strength, intellect will help you only here. But what's going to help the most is guidance to Islam. So this is the greatest of all favors. So we have to practice Islam in our lives, Ikhwan, in the way we talk, the way we think, the way we do things, our decisions. Because look, now in this chapter, I wanted to present this introduction so that we can benefit from this chapter. Okay? So let us, what I'm saying, I'm not saying or assuming that you don't know what I'm saying. That's just a reminder from you, brother. Okay? We all know these things, and we should know and we should remind one another and always remember the life after death. And that we all going to stand in front of Allah, and we're going to be judged according to our actions. It has nothing to do who you are, what country you come from, your color. That's not taken in consideration, because Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, is Al-Adl, is the just Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So now, this reminder will benefit us. Before you say anything now, be careful. Is it going to be for you or against you tomorrow? With no money, no lawyers, nothing. No possessions. Here in this life, people got money, they can say, they think, they say whatever they want to say. They get in trouble, but they build themselves out. But that's not going to happen in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. So let us be careful now. Whatever we say, just ask yourself this question. Is this is going to be for me or against me? How is it going to be for you? If you do it out of the pleasure of Allah. Do it because this is what Allah is pleased with. But if it's not, then you know it's no good. Train yourself. Subdue yourself. You have to fight. You cannot just say whatever he wants to say. Especially when you address those people, they have more rights over us. Like we mentioned, the parents. You see? Can't just. If you cannot just talk to a friend or a person you meet in a shopping center anyway, you have, as a Muslim, you have to conduct yourself and be kind and nice. Okay? Because our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he set the best example in this. The way he used to talk to the people, and he used to be patient with them. But still he addressed them in a way that the truth reached them. But in a way that is good, in a good manner, with hikmah, with wisdom, with good preaching, good admonition. So what about, if this is the case, what about when you talk to your parents, when a husband addresses his wife, the wife talking to her husband, when the children talking to their parents? What is the case when our noble scholars now commend us with things, how we take those advices? This is very important. Our elders that are in the community, the way we talk to them, the way we approach them, and those who they Allah put in place and authority amongst us, and those that Allah has favored, maybe because they have more knowledge than we do, they teach in our children, and those who put a lot of efforts so that me and you, we can come to a place like the place, and it's clean, alhamdulillah. So Islam teaches us to take in consideration these things, and to treat the people, everyone according to his level. Inam, barakallahu fikum. These are the things that are going to help us on the Yawm al-Qiyamah when we stand in front of Allah. Okay? When we stand in front of Allah. So that's what Islam teaches. As for what so many Muslims are doing, deception, this, and they have bad manners and this, this is not from Islam. Islam is free from those actions, evil actions. Okay? Now, so here we're talking about al-ba'th, ba'd al-maut, the resurrection after death. يقول الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله ويؤمن أهل الدين والسنة بالبعث بعد الموت يوم القيامة وبكل ما أخبر الله سبحانه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أهوال ذلك اليوم الحق واختلاف أحوال العباد فيه والخلق فيما يرونه ويلقونه هنالك في ذلك اليوم الهائل من أخذ الكتب بالأيمان والشمائل والإجابة عن المسائل إلى سائر الزلازل والبلابل الموعودة في ذلك اليوم العظيم والمقائم الهائل من الصراط والميزان ونشر الصحف التي فيها مثاقيل الذر من الخير والشر وغيرها. This first paragraph in this chapter, the English translation of what I just read in Arabic, it says, the people of religion and sunnah believe in the resurrection after death on the day of judgment. Allah, the one free from all deficiencies, and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also informed us about the terrors of that day, how hard and difficult it's going to be, of truth and different conditions of the slaves and all the creation concerning all that they will see and experience on that dreadful day. Like, for instance, receiving their books in their right or left hands, answering questions, and all other types of shocks and confusions which have been foretold for that great day, and what they will see and experience at that frightful standing like the Sirat, Al-Mizan. The Sirat is the bridge over the hellfire, and the Mizan, the scales, the opening of the records which contain even an atom's worth of good and more than this. يقول الشيخ الوالد ربيع ابن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى في الشرح, يذكر المؤلف هنا من العقائد الإيمان بالبعث بعد الموت. Our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Rabi, حفظه الله ومتعه بالصحة والعافية, he says here المؤلف, this term المؤلف is the author. And who's the author of this book? الإمام الصابوني, أبي عثمان رحمه الله, الإمام الصابوني. So Sheikh Rabi says that الإمام الصابوني, now in this chapter, he mentioned that from the creed also. From the creed that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who are upon the truth, upon the Haqq, upon the correct Islam, that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought from Allah, and that which the Sahaba applied in their lives and disseminate to their students, At-Tabi'un, who they taught it to others, and he reached us, alhamdulillah, in this chain. He says, from those creeds is that they believe in al-ba'th, ba'd al-mawt, the resurrection after death. It is not like, okay, you die and that's it, it's over, like certain people believe. I know nothing, no other life. No, there is another life. Allah is al-Hakim. Allah doesn't just create the people and the earth and all of this, send the prophets and messengers for nothing, that the people, they die and nothing happened. No. People, they're going to stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning and for accounting. قال فتراه هنا غير العبارة من قوله يؤمن أهل الحديث إلى قوله يؤمن أهل الدين والسنة بالبعث بعد الموت. And the Shaykh, حفظه الله, Shaykh Rabi says, if you were to pay attention previously, before this point, before this chapter that talks about the Ba'ath and the resurrection, Imam al-Sabuni, he used to say that the people of Hadith believe in this and this. The people of Hadith believe in this and this. But here he says the people of religion and Sunnah. You think the ulama, they just switch statements just like that? No, Sheikh is going to explain to us why. Why Imam al-Sabuni at this point in his book, he changed now Ahl al-Hadith to the people of religion, Ahl al-Din. نعم. قال لأنه لماذا؟ يرحمك الله. لأنه حتى اليهود والنصارى يؤمنون بالبعث. He says, because now he's addressing more people. He says, because even the Jews and the Christians, they believe in the death in the resurrection after death. Not just Ahlul Hadith. See how the ulama, subhanAllah, they are very precise in what they say. وَذَلِكَ تَوْفِيقٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Of course, because Allah raised them level. قَلْ وَحَتَّى ضُلَّالُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَذَلِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْبَعْثِ. You're over. Even you said the those who went astray from the Muslims as well, they believe in the resurrection after death. They're not upon the minhaj of a salaf. They have bid'ah and innovation, but they still believe in the bath. Al-Bath, which is the resurrection after death. قال ولكن يخالفون في قضايا مما يتعلق فيما بعد البعث وما قبله. So all these groups, they believe in the resurrection after death, but still, what is the differences? The difference in, they go against some of the matters that Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they believe in, whether before the day of a judgment or after it. There are certain things that take place before death, before the resurrection. Okay, the Jews and the Christians don't agree on those things. They don't have knowledge. And also the dullal, those who went astray from the Muslims, who do not adhere to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon his companions, they oppose those matters as well. And also after the resurrection, even though all of them, they believe that there is a resurrection, people will be resurrected and stand, there is a life after death, but then they do not believe in every detail that comes after that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe in, and of course, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe in these matters because they are supported by the Dalil from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله فالإيمان بالبعث وردت فيه آيات كثيرة وأحاديث كثيرة. As for now having faith and belief in the resurrection, there's so many ayats in the Quran that support this. And ahadith, narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there are proofs for this. يخبر الله تبارك وتعالى فيها عن إحياء الناس بعد موتهم وبعثهم من القبور ليجازيهم على ما قدموا في هذه الحياة. So in this text, the Sheikh is going to mention this couple of them. And as I always say, if somebody wants to give himself a homework and go home and find more ayahs, that's what we should do actually. That's how you gain knowledge. This is like only like this class here is like a jump, you just get like a jump, you know, you get a little push. But then you still have to do the work. He says, in these ayats, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He brings the people to life after death. And He is the one who caused them to die. And He is the one who brought them to existence in the first place and caused them to die. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back to life in the day of resurrection. After their death, they be resurrected from their graves. For what? He says so that He can reward them. They will be rewarded according to whatever they've done in the previous life. Which one? This life that we are in right now. قال لأن الله تبارك وتعالى لم يخلق الناس عبثا ولا تركهم هملا وسدى وإنما خلقهم لحكم عظيمة. He says because Allah the Almighty, He didn't create the people for play, for amusement, for no purpose. Just they are created and all of this, who knows, billions and billions of people, Allah knows their number. Right now the statistics and even those statistics, they cannot be accurate. Okay, but they did their best and they said, look man, there is like some 6 billion people. Now, what about those who came all these, how many years before and those yet to come, inshallah, only Allah knows. So you think all these people been created for no purpose, for no reason, nothing? La. Allah is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, the All-Wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for great reasons. There is a wisdom behind their creation. From them, أن يعبدوه. One of the great reasons and hikam behind the creation of the people is that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aina. To worship Him alone, not to worship the angels like other people do. Because He alone created them and He alone provided them with all what they need. So why they go and thank other than Him? Why you find certain people throughout the history, those who worshipped angels and those who worship human beings and those who worship animals, those who worship trees, some worship the rain, some worship the fire, some worship stones on the rocks and the like. Whereas the only one who deserves to be worshipped is Allah. Why? Because He alone created the universe. Nobody claimed that He created the heavens and the earth, or the sun or the moon or the stars or the air we breathe, or the water that we drink, and there is so many other benefits in it. Allah alone creates all this. Allah alone caused life and death. So He alone deserves to be worshipped. And once again, to be guided to Islam, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people, they have to make effort. And those amongst us who Allah guide them to Islam, we have to make effort to present Islam, the beauty of Islam, to those who are not upon Islam. I would tell them, no, not all Muslims are terrorists. Yes, there is some bad people. There is some bad people who they causing all these problems, but they are not practicing Islam. Actually, Islam is against their actions. Islam is not for that at all. Bin Laden and his people, Al-Qaeda, they call it Al-Qaeda. And the Khawarij, whether they be in Somalia, or they be in Algeria, or they be in Mali, or they be in Iraq, or Pakistan, whatever they may be. This is not from Islam. Those people who are killing people and innocent people, and causing terror, and turmoil, and this is not from Islam. But they Muslims. Okay, so they're Muslims, but they are not. It's not from Islam. So it's not whatever a Muslim is doing that has to be from Islam. No, those people, they bad people, and we free ourselves from them. Likewise, if a non-Muslim see a Muslim who's cheating, like for example, some Muslims here in America, their landlord may be a non-Muslim. Okay, that Muslim cheats. He don't want to pay the rent and lies and destroy the property. Is it because of Islam? No, it's not because of Islam. No, it's because of that person's actions are bad. And that person, by doing these things, he's contradicting Islam. He's going against commands, clear commands from Allah and from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah commands us to fulfill the contracts. You agree to pay rent, you're going to pay rent. If you're going through some hardship, you talk to the landlord. Look, man, this month I'm going through some hardship. Give me some time. Look, I'm a Muslim. I gotta respect that contract. Not just like deception and the like. No, this is not from Islam. Now, if a Muslim is cheating or lying or whatever, it's not from Islam. Okay? So, it's very important, this Islam that Allah has guided us to. Alhamdulillah, we have to display it in our actions, in our statements. Every one of us is giving da'wah, you like it or not. You don't have to be behind the mic. And your name is on some book or some flyer. While you're shopping at Walmart, you're giving da'wah. How you behave, and how you do things, how you behave, how you manage yourself, patience, this. That's da'wah, because people, they're going to say, oh, because of the religion. You know, you see, because of the religion. But if you're nice and kind, they smile and say, what's your religion? You say Islam, they're like, no, they don't say it, but you may kind of read it on some people's faces. No way. You see? You be nice sometimes, kind, and they're like, excuse me, what religion? You're like, I'm a Muslim. Then that cheerful face is tinted now with confusion. Can be. You're Muslim, but you still help me? See, because they think that all Muslims, this religion is a religion that teach, bad, and if non-Muslims in front of you do this to him, no, this is not what Islam. It's not from Islam. I know. So these are the things that will help us. We have to be kind, gentle, benefit from Islam, be honest, truthful when we speak, truthful and honest when we deal with one another, we treat our wives with respect. You know, when you marry a sister that she's a Muslim, she may be the only one Muslim in her family. Treat her with dignity, as commanded by Allah. Because Allah commands you, as a husband, to treat your wife with that, with respect. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, the best of you are those who are best to their wives, their families. You want to be amongst the best? This is how we do it. Be the best to her. Choose the best statements. SubhanAllah, it's amazing, man. It's amazing. I'm going to give you one example. I did so many examples, but I'm going to give you one that you know. Many of you here, maybe they're going to like, oh yeah, as soon as I mentioned the sheikh, I've been around some of the mashayikh and I've seen how they treat their families. And I learned, alhamdulillah, I took notes in my heart and mind, not in some notebooks, and I lost it in my trunk. Now you have to keep it in your heart, not just write it down and forget about it 2 years, two days later. Now you have to engrave it in your heart, implant it right there. That sheikh, our noble sheikh, the old sheikh Hassan al-Banna, hafidhahullah. You remember, I see his face is smiling right now, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. By the way, the sheikh is doing okay, alhamdulillah, and he always gives salam to you. The sheikh, he came and visited us last year, right? Last year? Or 2 years ago? Almost 2 years ago. And the sheikh, he was in his 80s. But then, he was like 83, 84. His wife came with him. It's amazing, yeah. He don't go nowhere without her. Nowhere. Because I used to take them to the hotel and bring them here and take them places. It's amazing. He would not get in a car without her. Where is he? Holding her by the hand, nicely, open the door for her. I know. How you doing? And when we get in the car, he makes sure she's comfortable. And every 5 minutes, how are you? Are you okay? Anything? You need, mashallah. After the talk finish, we're going to take them back to the hotel. You know, he will go. It was cold. You remember those days? Yeah. It was January. He goes over there and waits for her outside. Sheikh, come, she's coming. No. And I ask him, after all that, I ask him, Sheikh, would you please share with me? We here want to learn from you. The way you treat your family and this. He says, son, I'm responsible for her. That's a responsibility on me. My wife is my responsibility. I'm going to make sure that she's okay. Otherwise, I'm going to be asked by Allah about that. SubhanAllah. He says, yes, she has to be okay. She has to be comfortable, nice. Because I'm responsible for her. You see? Not like someone... See, now some non-Muslims think like the woman, she's a like a seventh, I don't know, citizen or whatever. What do you call her? Second class? Yeah, some people think like seventh class. Not even seventh. Like second class citizen. Why they get this? Some Muslims, ignorant Muslims who don't understand Islam, and they act upon what they think is right. No, this is not from Islam. This Islam gave, subhanAllah, a great makana and position for the woman. She's preserved. She's protected. She's respected.
That night of Sheikh.
Yes, our Sheikh is going to share with us. Alhamdulillah.
He wanted to go to take her from the sister's place.
Yes.
There was a brother. He wants to help him. Sheikh, I'm going to call for you. No. He said, I am responsible of her.
Allah. See, this is our Sheikh. Sheikh Abu Hafidhahullah. He witnessed something himself. Because he was cold. And we finished the talk, he go outside and wait for his wife. Somebody, he said, told him, Sheikh, just stay here, it's cold. We go, we got some other ladies, they're going to bring her to the car. He says, no, I'll go get my wife. I'm responsible of her. SubhanAllah. He walked with her to the car. Make sure that she's okay. The food, oh, subhanAllah, it's amazing. Hey, subhanAllah. Now, these are the things that are going to help us when we stand in front of Allah in this day that the Shaykh Rabi is talking about. We are resurrected to be rewarded according to what we have done here. Allah doesn't look at some person just of this their color, go to the Jannah. No, that's not going to work like that. It's not going to work like that. These are the people, they do it in this life because they are oppressors, they oppress others. They look at, oh, these are our people. Get in front. You stay over there. We don't know you. No. People are denied because of their color or their race or la la la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the just. He sent prophets, messengers. They make clear the path that lead to the Jannah from the path that lead to the hellfire. So those who want good for themselves, they adhere to the path of good. And those who follow the path of evil, they're not going to blame no one but themselves, because they made the choice in this life. So the Shaykh, he says, the people, they will be rewarded. And Allah has created them for great purpose to worship Him alone. وَكَذَلِكَ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَبْعَثَهُمْ لِإِقَامَةِ الْعَدْلِ فِي مَبَيْنَهُمْ وَتَقْرِيرِ مَصِيرِ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْجَنَّةَ وَمُسْتَحِقُّ النَّارِ وَمَنْ يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا مُخَالِدًا أَبَدًا وَمَنْ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ لِلْتَوْحِيدِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Likewise, people are resurrected. So Allah established justice between the people. See, those who they're not paying attention these days and saying whatever they want to say, take people's properties and this. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will establish justice between His servants. And based on this, there are people who deserve the Jannah and those who deserve the punishment in the hellfire. Based on actions. Adhering to the commands of Allah the Almighty and the commands of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the way, he was sent to all mankind. Before him, yes, a prophet, a messenger sent to his own people, but him, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was sent to all mankind. So that's a big misconception that certain people, they say, no, he was sent only to the Arabs. No, it's not the case. Another misconception, he was sent only to the people in his time. Come on, this man died 1,400 and he's still for me? No, he was only for the people in his time. No, he is for the people in his time, whether they be Arabs or non-Arabs. Doesn't matter. Whatever religion they were upon, they have to adhere to what he was sent with, Islam. Aynam. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day of judgment, when He sets the judgment between the people and He judges them according to what they've done here and how they adhere to His commands and the commands of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain people, they will dwell forever in the Jannah, while other people, they will dwell forever in the hellfire, while a group of people, a third group of people, they end up in the hellfire and they spend some time in it. But they will eventually come out because of the Tawheed. Naam. This is the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some people who died upon Tawheed, they may end up in the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit them into the Jannah after they pass in the hellfire. Because of the Tawheed. And then the Shaykh now, he began to mention some of the proofs. He mentioned the ayah, the surah, Surah Al-Qari'ah. First he mentioned Surah Al-Qari'ah. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى القارعه ما القارعه وما ادراك ما القارعه يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فاما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشه راضيه واما من خفت موازينه فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا هِيَةٌ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter 101, Al-Qari'ah, the striking hour, He says Al-Qari'ah, meaning the day of resurrection. And what is the striking hour? What is Al-Qari'ah? And what will make you know what the striking hour is, Al-Qari'ah? It is a day where all mankind will be like moths scattered about. And the mountains will be like carded wool. SubhanAllah, mountains, these huge mountains. Then as for him whose balance of good deeds will be heavy, he or she will live a pleasant life in paradise. May Allah make us from the men.
Amen.
But as for him whose balance of good deeds will be light, he or she will have his home in Hawiya, meaning in the hellfire. May Allah protect us and you, Ameen, from it. And what will make you know what is it? What it is? It is a fiercely blazing fire. The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah, he said, تصور ضعف الناس وخوفهم وهلعهم ويذهبون شتى لا يلتفت الأب إلى ابنه ولا الابن إلى أبيه. SubhanAllah. He says, now on that day, the people, they will be frightened, confused, terrified. Everyone is concerned for his safety. The father would not be concerned that day about his children, nor the children are concerned with the father. No one is concerned with his family that day. SubhanAllah, this same father who, on the day of a judgment, he's concerned for himself. He don't even ask about his son. He want to make it because that's terrifying. That same father in this life, he give his own plate of food to who? To his son. Right or wrong? You want to eat something and your son come, I want it. Bismillah, take it. That same son, that same father who is at work, just made it to work, working hard, he receive a text message or a phone call. What happened? His son fall off, break a leg or nothing, not even big deal. What the father do at that time? He leave off work. If the supervisor say, you can't leave, you get fired, he say, okay, fire me now. Why? Because he care about his son. He want to go and make sure that his son is okay, take him to the hospital and make it right. But on Yom Al-Qiyamah is different. You got to prepare for this day, barakallahu feekum. And may Allah make it easy on us. Have fun. Now, ثم ذكر الشيخ الآيات في سورة المعارج قال تعالى يود المجرم لو يفتدي من عذاب يومئذ ببنيه وصاحبته وأخيه وفصيلته التي تؤويه ومن في الأرض جميعا ثم ينجيه. سبحان الله, يوم رهيب ويوم عظيم. On the day of the resurrection, the Shaykh, he mentioned this hadith, this ayat from 11 to 13 or to 14 in Surah Al-Ma'arij, chapter 70. He says, Though they shall be made to see one another, meaning on the day of resurrection, there will be none but see his father, children, and relative, but he will neither speak to them, nor will ask them for any help. SubhanAllah, no help. The mujrim, the disbeliever, sinful, the one who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth come to them and they turn in arrogance and the like and reject faith and reject the message. This mujrim would desire to ransom himself from the punishment of that day by what? By money? No. Not going to happen. By his children. By his children. And his wife and his brother and his kindred who sheltered him. And all that are in the earth so that it may save him. About himself. Look how severe that day. May Allah make it easy on us. 11-14. قال يوم رهيب يوم عظيم حتى إن الأنبياء يقولون فيه من شدة هولي نفسي نفسي وأولو العزم كل واحد منهم يقول إن ربي قد غضب اليوم غضبا لم يغضب قبله مثله ولا يغضب بعده مثله يوم رهيب لا شك كما ذكر المؤلف شيخ ربيع حفظه تعالى he said this is a very difficult day very serious day we have to always this day has to be on our minds before you talk before you say things you make a decision before you do anything a transaction you got to keep in mind all of these statements, actions, what side you take in, who is the people that you affiliate with, what group, what madhab, what people, what this. All of this has to come in your mind, in our minds. Because the only thing that's going to help us in that day is if we side with the haqq, with the truth. That's it. Regardless who are the people that are with you on the same path. He says, even the anbiya, these are the prophets, of Allah, because of how terrifying that day, they say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Even the best of the messengers, Ulul Azm, subhanAllah, Ibrahim, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, they say, indeed, my Lord is very angry this day. He's angry in a way that he was never been angry before, and he will never get angry after this day, subhanAllah. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Rabia said, this is a very serious day. And it's true, by the way. This is not some stories. No, this is reality. It is true. This is our aqidah, the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Your tribe is not going to help you, Ya Abdullah, if you side with your tribe, whatever they are upon, Sufiya, Hizbiya, Ikhwaniya, Qutbiya, Shia. No, it's not going to help you, your tribe. You want to side with your tribe on the food they eat, it's okay. As long as it's halal, you can speak their dialect, you can eat their food, you can stick to their customs as long as they don't go against Islam, that's okay. But if they are upon bid'ah and dalalat, upon manhaj other than manhaj al-salaf, why you want to side with them for? You side with the haqq. Inam. Likewise, you pay attention to what is said to you, what you hear. Verify. Take a time. You don't have to rush in anything. Check what the people are saying, what they're calling you to. Is this is what's going to help you in Yawm al-Qiyamah or not? Because people are not going to help you. Even though those people, they beautify what they are upon from falsehood to you in this life and to make you believe that that's it, this is it. But you don't want to find out when you stand in front of Allah. Find out here. Because Allah accepts only that which is right and sincerely performed for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how this action is going to be right if they are not according to what Allah has legislated. So it's very important for us to be at least mindful of this reality. We're human, of course. We live in this life is a life of trials and tribulations and tests. We don't live alone. You're going to face people. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. But take your time. And choose from the statements the best of them. And actions the best of them. What is the best statement and action? Those who are going to benefit you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And how are they going to be best? If they are according to what Allah has legislated. If they are according to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon his companions. That's what's going to benefit you, Ya Abdullah. Regardless who's doing them and who's saying them. And this is a serious matter. Inshallah, the Shaykh mentioned other ayat, but I won't give you homework, inshallah ta'ala. Review the tafsir of Surah Al-Qari'ah. Tafsir Ibn Kathir, inshallah. Maybe everybody has it because it's in English too. Alhamdulillah. If not, you can Google it on the internet. Maybe some PDF over there of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, you may find it on the internet. Read the Tafsir of this Surah, Surah Al-Qari'ah. Likewise, a part of the homework also, review the Surah is Al-Waqi'ah, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ. Especially the first ayats. like until 10 or so, read those ayats and read the tafsir also. And do it with your family, inshallah. Because this is going to be remind us of how important this day is so we can prepare for it. May Allah make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those whom when they listen to the speech, they follow the best of it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.